I want to begin this series this morning in Genesis chapter number 1. And I want to look at the first 3 days of creation. And I want to preach this morning on the coronation of the third day. The coronation of the third day. I use the little word coronation. Webster's defines it as the crowning of a person by a particular happening. I want us to see, you know, most authors, if they write a book, they wait till the end to maybe bring that crowning thought that really is the clincher for the whole book. God doesn't do that right out of the gate. He brings the clincher. He brings the coronation. Because it is in the beginning of Genesis that Christ is magnified in the days of creation. Christ is the key that unlocks the golden door into the temple of divine truth. Matter of fact, Jesus said this, search the scriptures for they all testify of me. So if they all testify of him, the first 3 days of creation must be telling us a story about creation. God forbid. They're telling us a story about him. Why do you think the evolutionists want to do away with creation? You do away with creation, you do away with him. He will not be done away with. I'm glad of that, aren't you? I want to begin, if you've got your Bibles there this morning, with day one. And I want us to see in the first five verses of Genesis 1, that the first day testifies of Christ's birth. Testifies of Christ's birth. Look at verses 1 and 2. We'll see the source of Christ's birth. He said, in the beginning God created. I am extremely interested in that little word create. It means to make something out of nothing. That's exactly the way God made this world. He made it out of nothing. If I was to get a number of you fellows together and I was to assign you, I want you to make me a pulpit just like this. And I want you to make me a table just like this by next Sunday. And I don't want you to use any materials at all. I want you to make it out of nothing. I assure you, late next Saturday night, you'll still be scratching your head trying to figure out how you could make something out of nothing. You say, what in the world's that got to do with Christ's birth? The Bible tells us in Luke chapter number 1 that the angel Gabriel appeared to a virgin by the name of Mary, saying, behold, thou shalt conceive. I'm extremely interested in that little word conceive. It is a similar word as the word create. It means to make something out of nothing. You say, you mean Jesus was created inside of Mary and he was made out of nothing? The only way I can figure, because Joseph never supplied a seed and Mary never supplied an egg, the only thing I can figure is that he made him out of nothing. I love the hand out of that, don't you? I'll stop right there and have a smile. Break. Huh? Right out of the gate, he is magnifying Christ's birth. He says in verse number 2, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. That little word move means to brood. It is the word for a mother hen sitting on those eggs and brooding over them until they birth forth. You say, what's that got to do with Jesus' birth? The angel told her in Luke chapter number 1, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, Mary, and the power of the Holy Spirit shall overshadow you, and that which is born of you shall be the Son of God. Oh, right out of the gate, he is magnifying to us the birth of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, not testify for you, but it makes me want to say this, more about Jesus would I know, holding communion in His Word, hearing His voice in every line, making every saying mine. I search the Scripture, standing somewhere in the shadows of every verse of Scripture, you'll find Christ. You'll find Christ. I was thinking about old John Phillips, the great writer of yesterday. I got to hear him one time in person down at Camp Zion in Myrtle, Mississippi. And I remember that morning a statement he made. He said he loved murder mysteries. Said he'd been reading them since he was a little boy. When he said that, Bess' ears perked up. She's been reading murder mysteries as long as I can remember. I say she's reading them, trying to figure out how to kill me and get away with it. But he said as a little boy, he started reading murder mysteries. And he said the very first one that he ever read, he did this, and he said he continued to do it with every murder mystery that he ever read after that. He said he always read the last chapter. First one, read the last chapter. He found out who did it. He went back to chapter one and began to read the book. He said, I kept my eye on them all the way. He said, when God saved me by the marvelous grace of God, he said, I went to the Bible, and he said, I applied the same principle that I'd applied years to murder mysteries. He said, I read the last chapter. He said, I found out who won and who did it, and I went back to the beginning of the book. And he said, I kept my eye on him all the way through. I'd say that is a good advice for some of us this morning. I'm talking about the source of Christ's birth. But look at a second thought if you've got your Bible there. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 3. Notice not only the source of Christ's birth, but notice the Scripture and Christ's birth. The Bible says in verse 3, and God said. Now I know most of you are much more spiritual than I am, and you probably don't write in your Bibles. I am extremely carnal and fleshly. I write all over my Bible. If you are of the carnal mind and you write in your Bible, you might want to circle right there, and God said, because that is the first time there is any sound ever made in the Bible. You say, who in the world is he talking to? He's talking to himself. Of course, I don't know if you realize it or not, him and Jesus, if God the Father and God the Son are one and the same person, they've been talking to one another for a long time, talking to themselves. Now, they'll put you and I in the loony farm for talking to ourselves, but when he talks to himself, they highly exalt him. I love that, don't you? John 17, that high priestly prayer, he's praying to the Father. Who in the world is he talking to? If they're both the same person, he must be talking to himself. The only thing I can figure, he's talking to himself about me. Wow, what a thought that is. He said, and God said. The little word said there, it is our little word for a phonetical sound. If you're like me and you were raised up in the economy that I was not taught how to read phonetically. That's why I can't spell. That's how come you can't spell. Because you were raised up with somebody showing you a picture. This is a car. Nobody ever told you how to pronounce car. It was nothing of that. It was just a picture. But here is a sound like See, he is the first one to make a sound. The sounds became words. The words became phrases. The phrases became sentences. The sentences became paragraphs. The paragraphs became chapters. The chapters became books. The books became libraries. He is all that we need this morning. He is a word. God said, there is a spoken word. You say, what in the world's that got to do with Jesus' birth? John said this, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, what did the Word do? John said, and the Word bodied himself in flesh, came and tabernacled among us. And John said, we beheld him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Wow. God said, no wonder this morning Jesus said that he placed his Word above his name. No wonder he said the Word will not pass away. Do you realize this morning there's only two things in this building that'll last forever? This book right here and us. The only things that'll last forever in this building. He said, my Word shall not pass away. He said, it's quick, it's powerful. It has the ability to tell the thoughts and motives. Isn't that why oftentimes when the preacher's preaching, you get to thinking somebody's been telling him about you? Have you ever had that thought? Wonder who in the world could have told him what we've been talking about on the way to church over here tonight? Huh? Quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Knows even the thoughts and intentions of your heart. It knows your motives. No wonder Paul told Timothy, preach the Word, read the Word. No wonder David said, meditate on the Word, hide the Word in your heart. Oh, this book is so important. I thought it was interesting. I ran across this not long ago. It thrilled my heart. Did you know a number of years ago when we were having all of this debate about evolution and stuff like that, decades ago, scientists come up with a word to explain the world. They call the little word universe. It's deep. They finally got some way to explain all that we have here. They call it a universe. This is a universe. Wow. I got to thinking about that word universe. It's made up of two words. The little word verse is a small phrase. And the little word uni is the little word one. Scientists, man, they just, oh, this has been here millions and millions of years. We'll call it a universe. Well, how did it get here? One small phrase was said, and it all appeared. I love that, don't you? I'll stop right there and shout. Huh? God said, hey, this is awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. Things happen, but they do not just happen. I was wondering if he might be speaking some things in existence in your heart even while you're sitting there this morning. Huh? The Scripture and Christ's birth. But watch, not only do we see the source of Christ's birth, the Scripture and Christ's birth, but look in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 3. Notice the shining from Christ's birth. God said, let there be light. What happened? The Bible said, and there was light. Time out. Hold on. I have a big problem with the Bible. You've got a problem with the Bible? Yep, got a problem with the Bible. I've got a problem with Genesis 1:3. What's your problem with it? He said there's got light in chapter 1 and verse 3, but it's not till the fourth day that he makes the sun, moon, and stars. How in this world can you have light and the sun, moon, and stars have not yet been made? God said, as that word, Christ himself, boom, whole place lit up. I love that, don't you? Matter of fact, he says that the heavens are 12,000 miles square. 12,000 miles that way, 12,000 miles that way, 12,000 miles that way, 12,000 miles that way. You can walk on all those planes. And he said, you ain't going to get no power bill. There's no switch over there. He said, I'm going to light the whole thing up myself. I love that, don't you? Oh, gracious, the shining of Christ's birth. No wonder he says when he was born, the glory of the Lord shone all around him. Luke said when Simeon saw him, he said, mine eyes have seen the salvation and a light to lighten the Gentiles. He is the light this morning. He says in Genesis 1 and verse 4, and God saw the light that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day. Wow. He told Mary, he said, Mary, when that baby's born, he said it's going to be a boy. She ain't even had a sonogram yet. The Holy Ghost said it's going to be a boy. And he said, you ain't got to do none of them dream books and come up with them crazy names that you're going to come up with. Oh, his name. Ooh, his name. No, I wanted you to call him Jesus. He said he'll save his people from their sin. That was all established prior. I'm talking about the shining from Christ's birth. Genesis begins by announcing Christ's birth. Matthew, the gospel begins by announcing Christ's birth. Oh, it is the coronation of day one. This was an interesting thought. I'm asking you to do something, and I know this is going to be extremely hard for some of you to do. I'm going to ask you to remember something for 10 or 15 minutes. It's going to be difficult. You're just going to have to put it on the back burner of your mind and just remember it for 10 or 15 minutes. Watch the Bible in verse number 4. The Bible says, and God saw the light, that it was good. Day one now, he said the light, which you and I clear. Would you do me a favor? If I have convinced you that day one is a picture of Christ's birth, would you do this? Some of you are going to a chiropractor. Notice day one, he says the light was good. But look at verse 5. He says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. There is no mention of the day being good. Only that the light in that day was good. Would you put on the back burner of your mind, there is no mention of day one by God the Father as being a good day. I hear people all the time say, you'll ask them, so how you doing? Boy, it's a good day. Boy, every day's a good day. God the Father never said day one was a good day. If you'd ask God the Father, you having a good day? Nope. Day one ain't no good day. Wow. Back burner. Hold on to it. Let's move to day two. If you've got your Bibles there, Genesis chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 8. I want us to see, not only does day one testify of Christ's birth. If that's all we had this morning, that Christ was born of a virgin, everybody in the building would still be lost and on their way to hell. Wouldn't help you a bit. But day two speaks of Christ and testifies of Christ's death. Testifies of Christ's death. Watch the scriptures this morning in verse number 6. I want us to see the cross of Christ's death. The Bible says in verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. I'm extremely interested in that little word firmament. That little word firmament is our little word for the visible arch. That which you and I can see in the sky. That little word firmament is our little word for divide. That visible arch that you see there, it is the dividing point between us and him. It is the dividing point between this world and that world. Oh, they've gone a long ways out there. Matter of fact, they've got one of them spaceships going now. They think it's going to be there by 2018 or 2019. Going to take it a number of years to finally not even reach the edge of our Milky Way galaxy. You get your spaceship, you rev it up and let her rip straight up. You'll never see a sign saying dead end ahead. There is a visible arch. There is a divide that divides us from him. I believe that little word firmament there, the little word divide there, is a beautiful picture of the old rugged cross. Because the old rugged cross is the great divider. Do you realize this morning that some of you have a tremendous relationship with the cross this morning? It's going to take you from this world to that world. Some of you sitting here this morning, you have a flimsy relationship with that cross. It's going to take you from this world to that world. Are you listening to me this morning? It's the great divider. Do you realize this morning, some of you men here this morning, some of your family members sitting on that same pew with you, that cross is going to send some of them to hell, and it's going to send some of them to heaven. It is the great divider. Do you realize this morning, some of you women sitting here this morning, you can look over at your mate this morning and realize if they ever close their eyes in death, you're never going to see them again, because that cross is going to divide them from you. It is the great divider. Christ, death, the cross of Christ, it separates the temporal from the eternal. Oh, it is the great divide. That old rugged cross is despised by the world, but has a wondrous attraction for me. Why is it people on your street could care less about that cross, but it's got such an attraction for you? Some would say, I don't like that old bloody cross. And the more you see the blood, the more you like it. Why is that? Oh, the cross of Christ's death. I was interested in this cross of Christ's death in a little key that is in here that really bugged me when I first saw it. Look at verse 6. It said, and God said, let there be a firmament. But then when we get down to verse 7, he changed the whole thing. That's what confused me. He just changed the whole thing. He said, and God made the firmament. First of all, he said, let there be. Then he said, he made it. I looked at that little phrase, let there be. The little phrase there means something that is already in existence, but you can't see it. It's already there, but you can't see it. Already in existence, but you can't see it. But then he makes that little word made. That little word made means to bring into time, and you can see it clearly. You say, what in the world's that to do with the cross? Are you crazy? Oh, no, I'm not crazy. 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross, that was the time that he made it clear for these eyes to see, wasn't it for you? I can assure you that the cross has been around a lot longer than that. Don't you remember when John got caught up from the Isle of Patmos? He said the first time he saw him, he said he had to take a double take and look at him real close. He said because he looked like to him a lamb that had been slain before the foundation of the world. Oh my, the cross was not an afterthought in God's mind. The cross was not brought into existence 2,000 years ago. Oh no, the cross has always existed. It was only brought in to clarity for you and I to see it. Oh, I love that, don't you? Gracious, it seems, as preacher told us in Sunday school this morning, the best commentary for the Bible is the Bible. Wow, the cross of Christ. Hey, sometimes I forget to tell people things, and I get back to the room and I say, gracious, I wish I'd told them that. I don't want to forget to tell you this. Things happen, but they do not just happen. Man, if he can cross T's and dot I's, I wonder if he's crossing some of your T's and dotting some of your I's. You don't know what I'm going through, but you don't know what I'm having a really bad time. I know who's behind it. Oh, yeah. Well, what does he want out of me? He'd love for you to bow to him. Acknowledge him in all your ways. The cross of Christ's death. Notice also, if you've got the text there, the cause for Christ's death. He says in verse number 6, he wants this firmament in the midst. That little phrase there, center point, in the midst. He said, I want it dead center. He said, when you stick the cross, when you put this firmament, he said, I want it right in the midst, right in the center. Of what? He said, in the center of the waters of... I didn't know if you'd see that word or not. Thought it underlined it. What's that about? You got your Bibles there? Hold your finger there in Genesis and turn real quick over to Revelation chapter 17. What is this thing? Waters. He wants that cross, that firmament, right in the middle of the waters. Look at Revelation 17, verse 15. He saith unto me, the waters. Best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. He said, I want that cross. He said, I want you to stick it dead center in the middle of the people. I've not done it. I just read about it. I've never set out to do it. I just took it for granted. They tell me that if you take a world map this morning and lay it out flat, put your finger in the dead center of a world map, your finger will be on Golgotha's hill. It is dead center of the world. Boy, I didn't want to forget to tell you, things happen. They don't just happen. Man, you imagine a God. I mean, he has got it down so pat. He even knows the point at where he wants it to happen. Right in the center. I reckon you reckon he's running your life this morning and causing. I wonder if he caused you to come here this morning. You wasn't even planning on coming when you got up. Wow, things happen, but they don't just happen. I was interested in this little thing. In the midst, that's the center point. Everything's revolving around it. It's running the show. Every time you see Christ and he's in the midst, he's running the show. He's the boss. He's the authority. Do you remember when he died on the cross? He's hanging there on the cross. You remember what the Bible said? Said there was a thief on either side and Christ in the midst. He's running the whole show while he's nailed up there on the cross. He looks like he's out of commission. No, he ain't out of commission. He's in commission. He's running the show. Things happen. They do not just happen. He could do more nailed up than most of us could do unnailed. Huh? Are you listening to me this morning? Huh? Oh, I'm talking about the cross, the cause for Christ's death. Could I mention, third of all, about this testifying of Christ's death? Notice the confession about Christ's death. Now, I'm going to ask you a question now. I hope you can answer my question, because if you can't answer my question, I'm going to start all over again. Does anybody remember? Because all I ask you to do is remember 10 minutes. Does anybody remember what I told you to put it on the back burner of your mind that was never mentioned about day one? Anybody tell me? What? It wasn't good. Never said anything about day one. If you'd asked God, hey, you had a good day? Day one wasn't a good day. All throughout this story of creation, in verses 18 and 19, the fourth day of the week, it says, and God saw that it was good. If you'd asked him about the fourth day, good day, good day. Fifth day, verses 19 through 21, you asked about the fifth day, good day, good day. You'd asked him about the sixth day, that's the day he made us. He said it was a good day, good day. But I notice in our text, in chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 8, the Bible says in verse number 8, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning was the second day. Day 1, no mention of it being good. Day 2, hey Lord, did you have a good day today? Day 2, create, Day 2 wasn't no good, I didn't like it. Day 2, nothing about it being good. All right, we've seen day 1 testified of Christ's birth. Day 2 testified of Christ's death. Man, if day 3 would speak of his resurrection, we probably ought to shout. You reckon? Or, of course, most of us will sit there like this. Man, he has done a lot in 3 days, man. Right out of the gate, I want to crown my boy Jesus. His birth. Hey, I did not know if you know it or not. He was in charge of your birth. Did you know he picked the day you was going to be? You didn't pick your birthday. Your mom and dad didn't pick your birthday. He picked your birthday. Right. If you've been born again, he picked that day too. You didn't pick that day. He picked it long before you picked it. I hear people all the time say, "Boy, I wish I'd have got saved when I was younger." You could. You can only get saved when he'll save you. Huh? It got nothing to do with what you want, what he wants. He is the God of the third day. Things happen, but don't just happen. I want us to see that the third day testifies of Christ's resurrection. Christ's resurrection. Notice the letting of Christ's resurrection. Verse number 9, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place. Let the dry land appear. And it was so." Before God ever made this statement, the whole earth, the whole globe was immersed in water. Couldn't see it. Whole thing was underwater. God said, let the dry land appear. That little word appear means to come up out of. He said, let the dry land appear. Boom! It arose up out of that water. I don't know about you, that sounds like resurrection to me. When something comes up out of something else. Isn't that what the scripture says about Christ? It says the grave, he arose a mighty triumph over his foes. Oh, the letting of Christ's birth. But I see the life of Christ's resurrection. If you've got the scriptures there, from verses 1 through verses 10, everything has been drab. Everything has been gray. It's like being in North Carolina and looking out the window, and it's January and February. How many of you ever looked out the window here in the North Carolina mountains in February and said, man, that looks pretty out there? It's dark. It's gray. It's drab looking. Ain't nothing pretty about it. Verses 1 through 10, the whole creation has been drab. It's been nasty looking until this dry land comes up out of and appears. Notice, if you would, the law, the life of Christ's resurrection. The Bible says in verse number 11, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding trees, and the fruit trees yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth grass, herb yielding seeds after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind. Boy, everything begins to pop out. All the colors begin to pop out. Boy, you got the blues, you got the green, you got the yellows, you got the orange. Oh boy, it's resurrection. It's looking good now. That's what happened to me. First 20 years of my life, my heart was drab. It was day. It was dry. It was dark. It was dismal. But he stepped inside of me July the 14th, 1968. He said, let there be light. He rose up the victorious in my heart. And it's been beautiful colors ever since. Anything like that happen to you? Hey, things happen, but they don't just happen. Huh? Oh, a resurrection has appeared. Could I mention last of all this morning, the law of Christ's resurrection. Test again. I hope I don't have to preach the whole sermon again. Does anybody? Because now it's probably been about 15 minutes I've asked you to remember day one. Some of you are waning on me. I could tell by this last time you just sort of mumbled it. Boy, I wish I could get a good loud answer. Does anybody remember what was missing from day one? No good mentioned day one. Can anybody remember what was missing from day two? If you'd asked God the Father on day two, what'd you having a good day? No good day. Well, how about day three, the day of resurrection? I wonder if he's having a good day this day. If you got your Bible there, look at verse 10. The Bible says, and God called the dry land earth, the gathering together of the waters called the, he sees, and God saw that it was good. Verse 12, and the earth, he brought forth grass, herb yielding seed after its kind, tree yielding fruit after its seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good. The evening and the morning were the third day. Day one, when Christ left the portals of glory, was born of a virgin, and came into this stinking earth, God saw no good in it. The day his darling son died, took his last breath, he saw no good in it. But the day he arose from the grave, he said, that's good. That's so good. He gave a double good to the third day. Things happen, but they don't just happen. Huh? I love that, don't you? I'm telling you this morning, he's in charge of our birth. He's in charge of our death. He's in charge of our life. He's in charge of the things that happen to us. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. It's bigger than that. I can face now if he's living. I can face all my happenings. I was thinking in closing this morning, old street preacher of yesterday in England preached all of his life. He was a street preacher. His name was Alfred Hackley. Alfred Hackley. All of his ministry, that's all he ever did, preach on the street. He was from England, and he had most of his ministry in Hyde Park. He preached every day in Hyde Park. Preach. Had a lot of people saved in Hyde Park just preaching on the streets. One day, old Alfred was over there preaching on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There was a heckler in the crowd. He kept heckling old Alfred. Ah, we don't hear nothing about old dead Jew. More old Alfred would preach, the louder the heckler would get. Ah, shut up. He's dead. He's still in a grave somewhere over in Jerusalem. We don't hear nothing about old dead Jew. On and on and on. Till finally, he shut old Alfred down. Alfred closed his Bible, and in humiliation, he went to the house. He was so sad, so dejected, so feeling like he was lower than lowest could be. Felt so bad for letting that heckler shut him up about his Lord Jesus. You know, something like those people down there where you work, they put duct tape on you. You're afraid to say anything about Jesus. Huh? You're afraid somebody might lock you up. It's against the law to say anything about Jesus around you. I would find me somewhere where it's against the law to say something about him, and I'd say something about him. Huh? Are you listening to me? Oh, Alfred was so dejected. About midnight, old Alfred was as low as he could get, and God began to speak to him. And in a matter of about 30 minutes, he wrote the words and the music to this song, I Serve a Risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. Oh, Alfred said he lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along the narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. Alfred, how do you know he lives? He said he lives within my heart. Things happen, but they do not just happen. I was wondering this morning, not being nosy, God forbid I'd pry my nose into your business. You got anything happening to you of late that you didn't particularly care for? Things are happening to you right now. You just don't particularly distasteful. I know who's behind it. He would love for you to give him glory. Give him honor. Because he is alive this morning, you can face all your happenings this morning. I wonder this morning if you've ever bowed your dead soul to the living Savior. Let him breathe life into you.